Take your Bible and turn to Jeremiah, please, chapter 9. We have, no doubt, when I've preached, used this verse before, verses, but I'm going to use it as a jumping off point. Jeremiah chapter 9. I'm well aware of the time. I don't mind you looking at your watch, Brother Carr, just don't start hitting it. Someone has well said, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. We can only glorify and enjoy Him if we know Him. Now, folks, there's a difference between knowing Him and knowing about Him. You can go down the bar on the corner and ask somebody, an old drunk, if he knows Jesus or knows about Him. Yeah, I know about Him. But the real Christian knows Him. Verse 23 of chapter 9 of Jeremiah says, "Thus saith the Lord." And when He says something, we got to listen. Amen. "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." Interesting side note, 9/11, God took care of those three groups of people in the sense of our glorying in the wrong things. Think about it. Near Wall Street, the economy went down. Rich man had nothing to glory in. The mighty man, the two big buildings that man builds as monuments. And then all the wise men couldn't do a whole lot about it, could they? But he goes to verse 24. "But let him that glorieth," this is a good word, "glory in this." Okay, Lord, what do you want us to glory in? "That he understandeth and knoweth me." What a powerful thought. And then he even tells you what he wants you to know about him, what he wants us to know about him. "That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness." Has he not exercised that towards us when we did not deserve it? "Judgment," he will be that also, "and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Philippians, please. Chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Paul, probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. All that he'd been through, all that he is, always was, said, "That I may know him." Not about him. Difference, amen? "That I may know him." That was his desire. "And the power of his resurrection." That's a wonderful thing. Read 1 Corinthians 15, that great resurrection chapter. Before you get on the mountaintop there. Oh, but he didn't stop there. And he says, what? "In the fellowship of his sufferings." I don't know about you folks tonight, but I tell you what, I learn a little bit more about the Lord when things aren't so good. By the way, you ought to. Now, everything's great on, everything's great on the mountaintop, but crops don't grow real good on mountaintops. They grew down in the valleys. "The fellowship of his sufferings." Greatest preacher that ever lived, probably Spurgeon, said he thanked God for the fire and the fire. Because that's when he drew closer to the Lord. And he says, "being made conformable unto his death." Go to chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start at the beginning. We can glorify him and know him by the names he reveals to us through his word. And the more we know his names and the more we know about his names, we're going to be better able to glorify him. Amen? Genesis 1:1. We are introduced to the first And one of the greatest names that God attributes to himself. It shows his character. His name shows his character and his attributes. It's the name Elohim. Let's all say that. Elohim. One more time. Elohim. Write it down. He's the strong, faithful one. In the first chapter alone, over 30 times, the name Elohim is used. Now listen, the KJV writers, and by the way, I hope that's what you got on your lap. If you get another version, you're in the wrong church, or you're in the wrong Bible, and one or the other needs to be changed. Amen or oh me. But the KJV writers had enough wisdom and enough respect for God's name that they came up with a code. When the Bible referred to Elohim, they wrote it capital G-O-D. When he referred to Jehovah, it was capital L-O-R-D or capital G-O-D. Make note of that. And in chapter 1 of Genesis, it's Elohim over 30 times. In the Old Testament, over 2,500 times. You don't believe me? Go count them yourself. What does Elohim mean? Three basic things. First of all, it speaks of plurality. God is a triune being. We're a triune person, body, mind, and soul. Go to chapter 1. You're right there in verse 26, I believe it is. And God said, let us, there it is, make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Back to chapter 1 and verse 1. I almost missed it. Basic text. In the beginning, what? God. Small G-O-D. Elohim. And what did he do? Created the heaven and the earth. And that's the second thing about the name Elohim. He is the creative and creator and the governing power. It speaks of his omnipotence. So no wonder chapter 1 talks about all of God's creation. God is the great creator. Somebody has well said, if we can believe the first 5 words of the Bible, we'll be okay. And you know what? I'm just dumb enough to do it. The evolutionists can take all their junk. I just believe God. Even when I don't understand, I'm going to believe him. I'm going to trust him. Amen? The third meaning of Elohim, the great name of God, is the one who keepeth covenant. It's the name by which God makes covenants and preserves man, not for our sake, but for his name's sake. And I want to take that third meaning of Elohim and just proceed with it. Don't get in a hurry. We'll be okay. Promise you. Why don't you go to Genesis chapter 17. We'll stay in the book. We won't have to go far. By the way, I hope you brought your Bible tonight. Amen. Genesis 17. We have the great Abrahamic covenant. We have here an unconditional covenant. Now, some covenants are conditional on man's part particularly. But this is unconditional covenant, which God made with Abraham. Every spiritual blessing which the true believer in Christ, I trust that's all of us tonight, possesses, that we possess, can trace its fountainhead back to the Abrahamic covenant. It speaks of a land, Canaan. It speaks of a people, the Jews. And it speaks of an ultimate universal blessing through a promised Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you understand every name attributed to God is attributed to Jesus Christ, for he is God and co-equal with God. Keep that truth in mind. Read verse 1, chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. There's Elohim. Amen. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for everlasting covenant, to be a God, Elohim, unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. Turn, please, to Genesis chapter 26. Elohim is a covenant maker and he's a covenant keeper. We understand Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In chapter 26, we see that he reiterates the Abraham covenant to Isaac. Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 to 5. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, and to Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Abrahamic covenant given to Abraham, given to his son Isaac, confirmed here again. Then I want you to go to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. We come to old Jacob. His name meant at the beginning supplanter. Hopefully you can fill in some of the Bible history. Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a very small sum. By the way, have you sold your testimony for a very small sum? I won't go and chase that rabbit, but think about it. Jacob's on the run. He's scared. He thinks his brother's going to kill him. And at that point, he was ready to do it. He's running as far away as he can from his brother. He winds up in a place called Bethel, the house of God. We'll begin reading in chapter 28, verse 11. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. I don't know about you, I'd like to have a little softer thing for my head, amen? But if you can go to sleep on a pillow, I reckon you're tired, amen? And lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God, those are messengers, angels are messengers, ascending and descending on it. Now, let me put the pause button here. I know this is a picture of Christ. You go to John chapter 1 and read about Nathanael. You see, Christ is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen? So it's a beautiful picture of Christ, and Christ is God, the deity. But this is his dream. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now he's going to give the covenant to Jacob. He's given it to Abraham. He's given it to Isaac. Now he's given it to Jacob here. And he says, And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Elohim is a covenant maker, and he's a covenant keeper, and he's given it again to Jacob. Now, I'm going to focus in on verse 15, and we'll be done. I want you to see what Elohim is going to do for Jacob. Deserving of it? No, he was a rascal. He made mistakes. In fact, later on, you're going to see he's going to pay for it. By the way, you reap what you sow, amen? The Bible's true about that. But a little bit later, he comes back to Bethel. But I want you to look, and I want you to make an application to yourself tonight, because Elohim here in chapter 28 is the same Elohim that we worship. And I want you to see what he promises Jacob, even though Jacob's done wrong. Jacob is leaving that promised land. But look at the verse, and I hope you'll mark it, and we'll just take a moment to look at it. Verse 15, God says, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Let's read that again. I want everybody to read that out loud with me again, please. Everybody aloud together. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Write them down, five things. If you're writing a order, that won't bother me, but make you pretend you're doing it. Number one, look what Elohim is promising. Number one, he promised him a divine presence. I am with thee. Lydia, let me say to you, I know you know it, but God's with you. God's with you. And I heard somebody say, I'd rather go to a foreign country in the will of God with my kids than to be out of the will of God. God said to Jacob, I'll be with thee. There's a song, I'll not sing it, but I am going to change it. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee every hour, enjoy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed son. And folks, the older I get, by the way, some of you younger people, let me let you in on a clue, and you who are a little older than me, you could have told me that too. It doesn't get any easier. I had those dreams back about age 40, Brother Frank, 30, you know, man, you serve your time and do this and that, and it'll be easier. It isn't easier. God talks about being a true yoke fellow. You know what the purpose of a yoke is? It's not to take the burden away, it's to teach you how to carry it. And if I had to rewrite that song, I'd just say, Lord, I need thee every minute. It's down to that. Anybody home know what I'm talking about here? Every minute. A divine presence, I am with thee. Second of all, there's a divine protection, I will keep thee. Whew. I love that. You're going to go, Jacob. You're going to go out of the promised land. You're going to go. But listen, Elohim has a plan, and we're not going to thwart it no matter what we do. He says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be in your presence, and I'm going to protect thee. Martin Luther wrote, a mighty fortress is our God. Elohim is a mighty fortress. Thank God we have protection. And listen, here in old America today, we got to ask for protection. And stay away. God keep us away for our kids and our grandkids. I am with thee, he says. And notice in all places, amen, wherever you go. And then he says, look, please, and we'll bring thee again into this land. A divine promise. How about the promises of God? Can you claim them? Can you believe them? Can you have faith? Jacob eventually had much more faith after he left Bethel here. But God says, I'll give you a divine presence and a divine protection and a divine promise. I'm going to bring you back. And then a divine pledge. Write it down. I will not leave thee. Aren't you happy about that? Christ, as our Elohim said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Folks, can I tell you one of Satan's big lies? He'll sit on your shoulder and say, you know, God doesn't care. See there? You served the Lord all these years and look what's happened. See there? No, Satan, you see there. Tell him to go where he belongs, where he's going to wind up at. Get behind these Satan. My Savior has promised never to leave or forsake me. And then last in that verse, there's a divine guarantee. Until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. Whew. Claim it. Divine presence, divine protection, divine promise, divine pledge, divine guarantee. I can claim that tonight because my God's the same God as Jacob, Elohim, the covenant maker and keeper. Then notice, please, what Jacob does, verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar. There's a title for a message, Frank. Pillows to Pillar. You can work on that one. And poured out oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that shall thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." I know he got saved. Now he's going to be a tither. Amen. Very quickly, walk with me about 400 years later. Jacob begets Joseph. You know the story of Joseph. Joseph, before he dies, made a commandment about his bones. A Pharaoh rises up that knew not Joseph. God calls, the same God Elohim calls, a man out of a burning bush by the name of Moses. Moses goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's going to learn who Elohim is after about 10 tests and trials there. Moses gets ready to go to the promised land that the covenant keeper said he's going to. Before he does, Exodus 13:19 says, "As Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he, Joseph, had solemnly sworn the children of Israel, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away from here with you.'" Elohim, still at work, said, "I will carry through what I promised." Listen, God's time clock is not ours. You wouldn't understand this, but I'm a very impatient person. One of my favorite sayings is, "Give me patience, Lord, but hurry." But God's clock is on his timing, and he accomplishes it. William Shakespeare asked, "What's in a name? Can I say to unite everything if the name is Elohim? For he alone is a strong, faithful God. And what his mouth has spoken, his mighty arm of power will perform." Let's stand, please. I must confess, I don't know how to give an invitation except to say maybe some of you just need to call on Elohim, the omnipotent God. Maybe you're in a position like Jacob found himself at Bethel, in a crisis. By the way, Jacob at least didn't blame God for his situation. I'm so tired of hearing people say God told him to do it. "I'll leave my son at the airport. I'll drown them in the bathtub." Oh, my soul, folks. Oh, my soul. As we sing a hymn of the invitation, if God's spoken to you about whatever, you come and bring your burdens to the Lord.